Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 3, we were talking about the progress that we are making is inching us closer and closer to Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's continue with that today. Read in your Bible, your King James Bible, Romans 1, 18 through 32, and compare it to our day, not only in America, but around the world. And we think civilization has progressed. When you read that, you'll realize it has not. Not at all. Instead, it seems to be a downward spiral. It seems to be like we are inching closer and closer to Sodom and Gomorrah. So, it does progress today, but like a slithering serpent, which Satan is, toward Sodom and hell, with all of its so-called modern day advancements. In Nineveh, whatever was lewd, lax, or licentious was accepted in all strata of society. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 tells us that, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So they call evil good and good evil. If you have standards, you got religious people out there calling the good evil. And you have biblical standards, they say, oh no, those aren't for another day. You know, I always say, you're a legalist because you have these standards and all that. We don't live in the Old Testament anymore. Oh, we don't? Okay, great. Since the Bible says in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill, why don't you go out and kill somebody because, hey, we got liberty. We got grace. Why don't you go out and be a mass murderer? Because we got liberty. We got grace. You see, it is, again, it sounds good to say, we've got liberty today. Until you actually apply it, then you'll realize that only an ignoramus can come up with something like that. And so, again, watch out. But Jeremiah 5 and 31, they had this problem in the Old Testament as well. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? That is, what are you going to do when you have to face judgment? When you have to face God? Oh, you made all these things. Oh, they sounded so good and logical to people. And many of them will go to hell because you convinced them that they didn't need to repent and believe the gospel, that Jesus died for their sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. You've just had them join the church. You've had them do some religious things, but you've not done anything to try to bring their soul to the salvation that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But when you look at Isaiah 5:20 and Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 31 that I just read, those are examples of the last days, especially the Isaiah prophecy there, chapter 5 verse 20, is of the last days. Now, be it Isaiah or Romans chapter 1, we'll find God gives them up for their debauchery and rejection of Him, turning God's grace into lasciviousness, as the book of Jude and verse 4 tells us there. Now, the churches of this day have turned the glory of God into images of corruption, as they make Jesus Christ a rocker who drinks and gets down undermining and casting doubt on his holy word. And casting the bait of the positive thinking only philosophy, making them think, oh, I said a prayer, I'm all right. But meanwhile, they go to hell, having been given a false hope, with that old serpent laughing at them all the way. Well, not only do we see a bloody city here in this first verse that's full of lies and robbery, but it's also a place where the prey departeth not, we're told, at the end of verse 1. It is somewhat amazing that a city that had it all could need and want more. It's said of old Rockefeller, one time was asked, how much more do you want to earn? He says, a dollar more. Is there anything else that you want to get? Is there anything else that you want to do? I want to earn another dollar. You see, he wasn't satisfied with what he had, being the richest man in the world. He wanted more. And so, it is somewhat amazing that a city that had it all that could need and want, wanted more. They even stole from one another. Yet they all had much. So there is a woe from God coming to this city that is caught up with the cares of this life, pleasures, and surfeiting or overeating. It is filled with immorality, drunkenness, entertained by those things, even if they don't do it themselves. They've got to watch it on television today. Oh, I don't do it, but they watch it. And people observed it in that day as well, but not on television, of course. But it's so open. Oh, the progress of civilization today that would make Nineveh blush. Its woe of total annihilation is soon to come. And it'll be just like Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. My friend, you're not sure you're saved. You've had those opportunities to get saved. People have talked to your soul and you've turned it down. You said maybe later, whatever. Understand, that time may come where you're suddenly destroyed. It'll be too late to do anything. Suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. And that's not me saying that. That's what God's Word says in Proverbs 29:1. In this day, we need Christians who will be strong in faith, bold in their stand, speaking the Word in personal witness, in the power of the Holy Ghost, as well as standing in the pulpits of our local churches, preachers that would also be bold in the faith. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 and 31, the Lord says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Now again, let me be clear. That saith the Lord God. And I want the people on the radio that are listening to us, I want you to understand one thing. Whatever I say here, whether it's about homosexuality, whether it's about drunkenness, whether it's about other things of that nature, things that people don't like, mention sin and so forth, I want you to understand, I'm just God's messenger. It's God's message. I'm just his messenger. Now, if I must suffer for that message, so be it. But I must have an holy utterance that does not allow anyone to be indifferent to the Word of God, and I must speak it boldly. Remember Nehemiah chapter 8, when they read the law? I think it was anywhere from 4 to 6 hours that day they just read the law to the people. Can you imagine reading Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? But as they went along, they were giving the tense and the different things of what it meant, the applications of it. The Bible tells us that. And these people saw that they were about to have the judgment of God upon them again after just coming out of captivity if they don't get right with God. But again, in Ezekiel's day before the captivity, God didn't want them to go into captivity. He was looking for a man, and there wasn't a man that would stand. Now, do you fear the government? Is the fear of man that bringeth a snare so great to you that you won't stand for him? Do you fear losing your job? You fear neighbors doing something to your property? Well, that can be daunting. I know that. But when the Bible says ashamed at his appearing, I think that shame will be far greater than what we understand in comparison to being afraid of what people will think if we take a stand, or what we might lose in a job or something else if we stand. A saved person cannot invite others to church and hand out tracts, let alone witness, is the reason for the fall of a country. Don't expect a moral governing body to do something for this country if we are unwilling to bring the glorious gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. You see, I could imagine that some hearing my voice today, the year having just ended recently, did not invite someone to church at all last year where the gospel was preached. You're not working on it. You know, I think it'd be good. Now, today we say altar. I think they had it better in the older days, call it the mourner's bench. But I think that whatever you call it, to go down to the front of your church when the pastor gives an invitation and fall on your knees and ask God to flood your soul with compassion. Compassion for his glory. And compassion for lost souls for whom he died. And to lay souls upon your heart and to pray for those souls by name at that altar. And then go out and seek to bring them to Christ. Or if they're backslid, to seek to bring them back into a right relationship with the Lord.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant.